Okay.
I personally think it was a staged event. And let me say that the information that we're getting is heavily filtered. Very heavily filtered through the so-called deep state. And with the FBI at kind of the center of that. And I'm kind of working on the hypothesis right now that the so-called young guy that they've named Crooks, that whole thing was staged to kind of draw attention away from what was really going on, because now we're getting these reports, and I'm not sure where these are coming from, that there's acoustic evidence of at least two shooters. And I've even read, I don't know if you follow Jeff Childers, who's got a pretty good feed that comes out three or four times a week on this. There's even a report coming from somewhere that there were three shooters. And then there are those diagrams that are coming out showing the sight line, not only from the roof where the so-called shooter was situated, but from the water tower behind and above that. It was a controlled event with a lot of red herrings thrown in there to keep people away from really trying to understand what happened. There was live fire. I mean, there was a man killed. There were two people wounded. I'm not convinced at this stage that Trump was hit by a bullet. He may have been hit by a fragment of either the podium or the teleprompter, or even a bone fragment from a victim behind him, and that was not planned. I think it's quite plausible that Trump was smothered by the Secret Service, but they didn't know he was going to be hit by anything. And of course, the fact that he was hit by something, and I think it is a fact, I don't think they faked or staged that, you know, the blood on his cheek. That may have been unexpected, but here's my take on it. I think right now my working hypothesis is that if you look at the long history of the attack on Trump going back to 2016 by the parties that I label in my book and in my recent article, the Shadow Men, I think we can hypothesize that this was a warning to Trump from the Shadow Men of what they can do to him if he gets too much out of line in his upcoming presidential term. Because I think, and I wrote this several weeks ago, I think the deep state, quote unquote, has pretty much conceded that Trump is going to be the next president. And now they're trying to throw rope around Trump to keep him bound and under control for the upcoming presidential term, because Biden has just gone down in flames and continues to go down every day. Even Adam Schiff, the House Intelligence Committee leader for the Democrats, who is as deep state can get, he's now running for California, U.S. Senator. Even Schiff has now jumped off of the Biden boat and has called on him to resign. So Biden is history. We're probably going to see, in my opinion, a dropout by Biden based on his COVID and his Parkinson's diagnosis that they've been leaking about. So Biden's history. They'll come up with some chump like Kamala or Newsom or whatever to run. But I think everybody right now has conceded that Trump is the next president, and the deep state and the shadow men are doing everything they can to let Trump know that he had better watch his step. Well, that's my take on it right now.
Well, Richard, who staged it, and did they want to kill him?
In my opinion, and this
who are the perps?
We are all kind of going day by day on all of this stuff. I don't think they intended to kill Trump. I think they intended to scare the stuff out of Trump and Trump's followers to deliver him a message that he was being watched very carefully, and that any misstep would, you know, they could take him out whenever they felt like it. I think it was a demonstration of force by the parties that I call in my book the shadow men, mm-hmm. and these are the ones who control, you know, another term for them is the globalists.
Yeah, the deep state, the globalists, yeah.
And the best example of who these people are, I think I'm very safe in naming Henry Kissinger as being a very good example of who was at the heart of the globalist cabal or conspiracy, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call it. Of course, Kissinger was a Rockefeller man, and it was the Rockefellers, and I call it the Rockefeller Republic in my book, who ran this globalist enterprise on behalf of the United States for so long. And it's the heirs of the Rockefeller Republic who are still running it. These are the people who, in my book, I refer to as the shadow men.
Yeah.
And that term came from a very interesting article. Let me just see if I can find it here. That came out in 2017, January of 2017, by a very, very important and renowned Indian journalist scholar named Madhav Nalapat, Nalapat. This guy is a very well-known and renowned writer and academic in India.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are pretty smart, these Indian people.
They've
been around for 2,000 years.
Yeah, as long as the Chinese.
Yeah, so I would refer our audience here, take a look at my Substack article from July 14th, 2024.
I will be sure, I should have it, but be sure to give it to me, send it to me by email when you get finished.
Yeah, I'll send that to you. It also appears.
I read it, but I get so many emails, I can't keep them all. So
it also appears on the Veterans Today site, which is now called VT Foreign Policy. They've done a great presentation, and today it's their lead article.
You know, I think I may even put it on the Seek Truth from Facts Foundation.
Yeah, you did.
As a guest submission. So
yeah.
All right.
And let me just, if I can, Nalapat wrote this article. I think it was 4 days after Trump's 2017 inauguration. And in that article, Nalapat said that a conspiracy had put in motion to remove Trump from office. And this was 4 days after the inauguration in 2017. I think it was January the 24th, 2017. So here's this Indian journalist who's interviewed people in the West, who's saying there's a conspiracy in motion to take Trump out within 1,000 days of his inauguration. Now, remember, he wrote this article 4 days after Trump's inauguration, and he's saying here there's a conspiracy to take Trump out within 1,000 days. The way they were going to do this was through impeachment. And lo and behold, it was 1,057 days after Nalapat forecast this that Trump was in fact impeached by the House of Representatives for his one phone call that Trump made to Zelensky, asking about Biden's connection with the Burisma scandal in Ukraine.
Which is true.
that his son was involved in.
Yeah.
And that's what they impeached Trump on. And And the way that came about was a leaked phone call by a staffer on the National Security Council who let Congress know conveniently about Trump's phone call. And that was what Adam Schiff and the rest of the Democrats nailed Trump on for the first impeachment. So the impeachment rolled out right on schedule, exactly as Nalipat had predicted. But the problem was that now these shadow men, they're extremely powerful. They control the global financial world, financial conspiracy, but they're not omnipotent. They still have to go through the mainstream media. They still have to go before the court of public opinion. So they create these tremendously elaborate plots to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. But and they had failed in the Hillary Clinton Russiagate conspiracy to nail Trump on Russia collaboration. That failed. And now their first impeachment failed. So lo and behold, they've got Trump now in office, beating the rap on the impeachment, but they didn't give up. They kept Trump mm-hmm. in their sights for the whole rest of his term. They were able to get Trump to back up their COVID conspiracy and make Trump into the spokesman for the COVID vax. And of course, he's being attacked mercilessly now for doing that. And then when the election came along, they were able to rig the election for Biden, get Biden in office, and then launch all this lawfare stuff against Trump, starting with the January 6th so-called insurrection, which the FBI instigated through agent provocateur at the mm-hmm. Capitol on January 6th. And so they nailed Trump on that. So they got Trump now running scared on four different legal cases. And now, lo and behold, all of those legal cases are falling to pieces. Mm-hmm. Trump's popularity is greater than ever. And Biden is collapsing and going down in flames, starting with his ridiculous, truly ridiculous debate performance. And he's looking worse by the day. And so the deep state, the shadow men, realizing that, lo, we're stuck with Trump again, are going to deliver him a message. And in my humble opinion, and it is a humble opinion, this faked assassination attempt was the way they're delivering the message to Trump. So That's kind of how I see it.
What's going to keep the Democrats? I mean, I don't think any state capitals have changed parties since 2020. What's going to keep the six or seven key, you know, swing states like Wisconsin and Michigan and Georgia and Arizona, et cetera? What's going to keep them from not rigging the election again and stacking the hard drives to put Biden in, or even Kamala Harris in power? What's going to stop? How are they going to keep the Democrats from stealing the election?
That's the question of the hour. One answer is J.D. Vance. That's why J.D. Vance has been stuck in there to get the hillbilly vote, as it were, on board with Trump. And that in and of itself will have an impact on the swing states. But you're absolutely right. What's going to keep them from playing the same games they did the last time, particularly with the absentee ballots? And here's another wild card. This is why Biden and particularly Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, have imported 10 million illegal aliens.
Yeah, of course.
Into
yeah.
the United States mm-hmm. over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
to get them on the voter rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And well, that's another battle that's being fought. I will say that I know for a fact that there are parties within the United States governance system, including within the military and including within the deep state, who are very pro-Trump and who are working right now behind the scenes to combat the type of fraud that was perpetrated in 2020, so that that does not happen again. This is a battle that's being fought outside of the public eye, but it is being fought. And there is a very strong party within the U.S. military and deep state that is absolutely disgusted with what Biden, the Democrats, and the shadow men have done to this country and are working to stop it. We don't know yet how it's going to play out, but we are seeing a war going on, a civil war going on within the United States right now, that the outcome of which is very much up in the air, and we're going to see this playing out between now and November.
And if the Democrats rig the election like they did in 2020, and I'm not picking on the Democrats. I mean, look what Bush did in 2000, and I mean, you know, corrupt elections in the United States are as American as apple pie. I'm not picking on the Democrats. But if the Democrats are brazen enough to steal the election again, what would be your prognostication? I would say civil war might be a real possibility. What do you think?
Of course, nobody knows. And of course, the Democrats, we can pick on the Democrats. I think they've pretty much become a force of evil, if we can be so blunt, over the last couple of decades. I look at Hillary Clinton and the Clinton gang and all them as part of that. But they have been trying to goad the Republicans and the Republican base into violence. Like they did on January 6th.
Yeah.
There they goaded some very gullible people into doing some pretty stupid things at the Capitol in order to stage the fake insurrection. And of course, they're trying to do that again, and will try in every way to get the Republican base to react violently. I don't think it's going to work, but I certainly am not prepared at this time to say what would happen if the Democrats elect a president. It would be so much of a fraud and a fake that I don't think they can hide again behind the lawfare fortress that they've constructed. I just don't think they could. So. And one possible scenario, and I've got a cousin down in Texas, and I'm always asking him, is Texas going to secede? And he's telling me, well, not at this time. But when you look at what states like Louisiana, Texas, some of the other Midwestern states that are now, quote, red states, unquote, are prepared to do, if the Democrats steal another election, this country could break up. And I don't know when, I don't know how, but it could happen.
Well, how those people are going to get a hold, the whole point is they've got to get into the wherever the electoral commissions and the electoral boards, you know, in these key states. And of course, as we know, you know, you only have to win five or six states and you win the election with the with the Electoral College. I mean, you know, anybody that votes for Trump in Oklahoma, like I do, is it's a wasted vote because 75% of the people are going to vote for Trump anyway. And anybody who votes for Trump in for Biden in New York is wasting their time because everybody's going to, it's definitely, you know, a blue state.
Right.
But it's just how are they going to get into those? How are they going to get into those electoral commissions and voting bureaus to keep the hard drives from being rigged? Because it's all electronic now, and all you have to do is just program. In fact, I remember seeing a presentation by a guy Brett Medmain Titley and I did a lot of work on the rigged election, and in fact, I have a whole library on it. And I think it was the county where Atlanta is. And it doesn't even have to be for the whole state. You just need one populous county and a swing state to swing the election. Right. And he showed how in Atlanta, that for every time someone voted for Trump, it was the hard drives were programmed to count a Trump vote as 0.9 votes, and every time someone voted Biden, it was counted as 1.3 votes.
Right.
So when they can rig hard drives to do that, how are these guys going to get in and get a hold of these hard drives to make sure they're not rigged?
All I can tell you is that the Republicans are aware of all this, and they have people on the ground in these localities to try to stop that from happening. I'm not privy to the exact mechanisms that they are using, but they have people now on the ground in those areas trying to anticipate and to fix this. I can tell you that for sure. I don't know how well it will succeed. Now, another wild card in here is RFK Jr. And as people know, Trump called RFK Jr. And I think it was, I'm not sure what day it was. It might have been on
two days ago. Yeah.
And asked RFK Jr. to drop out and endorse him, promising that he would place RFK Jr. in a prominent policy role in his administration. Now, that would be great. I would love to see RFK Jr. as Secretary of Health and Human Services and the boss of the FDA, the NIH, and the CDC, and rip the guts out of those places and recreate them as bona fide public health agencies. I would love to see that. That has yet to play out. I don't know. Of course, Kennedy says he won't. But the only thing Kennedy is running on right now is he's not Biden and he's not Trump. His positive message has been lost in the midst of all of this other chaos. But there is a possibility with Kennedy on the ballot in New York, for example, and in some other states, that he could create a situation where if he could possibly win the electoral count in even one swing state, that could throw the election into the U.S. House of Representatives, where Trump would win because the Republicans have a greater number of states under their control in the House than do the Democrats. So that's a very remote wild card, but it is another wild card.
Yeah, he's I don't see him getting as many votes as like Ross Perot got. I don't see it. I think that, I mean, first off, he's invisible. I like the guy, and he's got a lot of great ideas, and his fight for, you know, the children's health defense, which I subscribe to, and I've read his books about, you know, Anthony Fauci and et cetera. In fact, I reviewed his last book, the Wuhan cover-up. I don't agree with all what he said, but he's a brilliant, courageous guy. And heck, he may even be able to, if he got into the government, he may even be able to sweet talk Trump into finally releasing all the documents on JFK and RFK. That would be his father. So and blow that up. But I just don't see him getting as many votes as Ross Perot. I it's possible, but the media is so much more concentrated now and is so much more in lockstep. I mean, it is really brown shirt. I mean, it is just unbelievable. It's just like goose step. You know, the media now is goose step. At least, you know, 30 years ago, there was still some variance in the news reporting, but now it's very, very, you know, monolithic. So,
right.
But it's a nice thought. I mean, he's a decent human being, and I think he's done a lot of good for the country and the people. But well, I don't know what to think. I think this is unless you have something else. I like this show as it is. It's been 30 minutes. You've said your piece, and I think it's an excellent show. And I'd like to cut it off here and run you up the flagpole.
I will probably do
a show on my own and just kind of rant about what I think happened. But I think you've done a great job of bringing things up to date, and your theory is really interesting and it's very plausible, I like it. I have a little different version, but I sure don't want to spoil yours, and so because it's so good. So let's say goodbye here, and I will get this transcribed and up and running as soon as possible. And any links you want to send me, any hyperlinks, any references, please do that, and I will include that on the page like I did last time.
Well, sounds great, Jeff. Yeah, sounds great. All right. And let me just ask if your audience, just keep an eye on my Substack and on VT Foreign Policy, because I've got a new article in the works that kind of covers the ground we've talked about. And I get a little holiday vacation here. My wife and I are going to go visit my daughter and go to a museum or two up in Pennsylvania. And we'll be back. I'll be back at work on Monday and try to get something new cranked out.
Sounds good. Well, listen, be sure this started just like midstream. And so we didn't really get a proper introduction, but this is Richard Cook. Just say quickly about you, since I didn't have your intro like our first show. This is his second show we've done together, and the first one was really popular. Just a quick introduction to yourself before we sign out.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I'm a former U.S. government policy analyst. I worked in the Jimmy Carter White House at one time. I was a whistleblower in NASA at the time of the Challenger disaster, and I've written about that. And I retired a few years ago. I've been writing a lot since then, and my latest book is Our Country Then and Now, put out by Clarity Press. So you can find that on Amazon or other sources, and I'll be welcome to talk to people on the Substack and other venues. And I appreciate working with you too, Jeff. I love your programs.
All right, Richard, this is Jeff J. Brown, China Rush Radio, China Land, signing out, and enjoy Pennsylvania and enjoy a nice summer up there. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks a lot.